I haven't heard you go asshole like that on somebody since Mike Ryan, like a year and a half ago.
He's done it for Dan. I think he's done it. I think I might have been the third one. He's done it to Dan before. He gave it to Mike Ryan once, and I think I was the third person to get an asshole from Greg Cody.
He delivers it the same way every time, too. It's almost like he's got a sounder and he just hits it when he's ready.
Asshole.
Really? I didn't realize that.
It's like punctuating a paragraph. It's like I'm building up, I'm enthusiastic, I'm passionate. Asshole.
Asshole.
This is the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Did you just say you're too high?
My Christ.
This is usually where my dad goes, sassafras.
Okay, the mic. is good.
Yeti, do you have a sound that you make when you're, you know, trying to get something? My dad forever, if he's like really struggling to like loosen something or untie something, it's sassafras.
I do. I will talk to myself in a terrible British accent. Like when I'm working on the car, because I do most of my mechanic work, I'm trying to move a bolt that's just not moving. Yeah, I usually talk myself through it in a terrible British accent. Okay. I do a lot of substitute cussing. Amin would hate me on that.
A terrible British accent. I'm just imagining you like, bloody hell, Yeti. Like, what do you like?
I do say f- me a lot. Like,
right.
When I'm getting frustrated.
Nice.
Yeah, that's to myself. I don't say that where other people can hear me.
I do that on the golf course, don't I, Christopher?
What? Do what now? Yeah.
I say a lot of mother of pearls.
Mother of pearls.
Yeah, I give a lot of mother of pearl.
I go hell on a high horse.
One thing I do with my daughter that she loves is I'll be like, oh, for the love of Susie.
Oh, that's nice.
I'll like throw in like different names, like for the love of Samantha.
Yeah. So yeah. What are your actual like go-to swears?
I've done around my kid, I work in son of a bee sting.
Yeah.
Mm.
By the way, my daughter's been, you want to talk about a sad place in life. When your 4-year-old daughter beats you in Uno and you can see all of her cards, that is not a good place to be.
Wow.
Because my daughter, she doesn't know how to hold all the cards in her hand, so she just plays with her cards on the floor face up. So I have to play the entire game seeing the cards ahead of time. Like, I still play it straight. Like, if I have a card left and it's going to set her up to win, I just throw it. Like, I act like I can't see her cards. But I just have to tell you, like, the place that it is, it's just a low place when you have lost 3 games in a row to your 4-year-old in Uno, and you can see all of her cards.
Wow. Have you ever considered instructing her on how to hide a hand?
Well, no, she's working on it. Like, we actually have the last like few days, she has actually been trying, but she still like is showing all the cards. Like, she's like holding them, like, you know, she doesn't exactly lead the league in security on her hand, but it's just, it's really fun. We have like heated battles. We do like 7-game series. Cause like Uno really is like I don't want to say it's luck of the draw, but the cards are what they are. Like, a 4-year-old can lose 7 straight games to a 4-year-old in Uno.
What is Uno again? What is Uno? I forget.
It's a card game. You don't know Uno?
I know I've played it, but I don't know
it's the one with like, they're all colors and numbers. There's like skips and then plus fours and plus twos. Wild cards. It's a fun game. It really is.
Uno's great.
Yeah.
It's just a classic game. I think it'll hold up forever.
Yeah.
We used to play it. Actually, Facebook had an Uno version one time, and when I was living out in Seattle, and we'd play it in our office. Like, they didn't have any restrictions on our internet back then. And so like all of our screens would be flashing like up and down whenever the boss is around, and we'd be playing Uno against each other on Facebook all the time. It was great.
Yeti, by the way, this is one of those episodes where my dad's like scared because we don't have a guest and we don't have like a Greg doesn't know movies. So
because he was pressuring for a guest earlier today.
Yeah, he's been panic texting me all day about making sure you and Yeti really bring stuff. So I brought some good Uno content to the program.
No, that was really good. It reminded me back in the day, we used to play Rummy 500. And I now have no exact recollection of what the rules of that game were either.
You
played your 500 points. So tell me about Rummy 500.
I think you were looking for matches or like straights, like 5, 6, 7.
Okay.
And then like when you would get like 5, 6, 7, you put it down and the people like with, I don't know, like as I'm saying it, I'm realizing I don't remember specifically, but right. I just remember it was a cumulative scoring system.
Which I love.
You were trying to get as many like 6, 7, 8s and matching cards and suited connectors yes. as you could.
I love a cumulative scoring system. I always have. I really do. That's what I love about Monopoly is that, you know, you're counting money. I got more money than you. You know, I got more property. It's great.
I try to tell my wife that in the bedroom, it's a cumulative scoring system, but she doesn't really buy it.
Dare I ask, what do you mean by that?
I just thought it'd be funny to
okay. insert.
Last, okay. It worked well last week when we inserted Do What Now Phrasing. Into, you know.
That was actually pretty funny. When you were talking earlier about colloquialisms and weird sayings and everything, you know how sometimes you accuse me of saying Brad?
Well, no, you do say it. When you burp, you do say it.
Right, as sort of a burp.
You literally say Brad.
Brad. Okay, but you know what else I say? Because I did this the other day. I had indigestion. Instead of my hiccup sounding like Brad, I went Brack with a CK. And I also sometimes do brass. So it's a variation.
It's a variation of weirdness. It's a variation of weirdness.
No, Brad, Brack, and Brass. I mean, the big three.
Dad, speaking of Brad and Brass and your oddities.
Yeah.
Somebody made a tune to your weirdness.
Whoa.
Here it is.
Bay. Bay. Bay.
That cough. Brad. That cough is not part of the song. That's my dad actually coughing.
Hey, everybody.
Right on. Bay.
I love so much that you started coughing. Right as the song had you coughing, Greg. Like,
oh, wait, that coughing was in the song?
Yes, the coughing is in the song.
Oh, my God, dude. We need to replay that video on, like, social or something, because I swear it looked like my dad was listening to my dad.
Right at the same time that the coughing effects, I'm like, oh, he just drowned out the funny coughs that I put in the song for him.
You know that I genuinely think something is funny when it makes me cough involuntarily, because that's one of the things that happens. That was funny.
Yeah, that's the concept credit to Andrew Streeter, the execution credit to me.
Beautiful. What a dynamic duo. that was pretty funny. The Bay thing put to song is totally unexpected.
Dad, speaking of that, don't you have Charlie back right now?
Oh my gosh. Jumpin' Charlie, not quite 9 months old, still in puppyhood. He came home today.
And how'd it go? Is he like, did he remember you?
He did, like crazy. And he was on, in place when we got there. So he couldn't move. He couldn't jump. He couldn't do anything.
So wait, he through the excitement, he stayed. He didn't jump on you guys?
No.
Did you guys beat all the life out of that dog? And now like it's worse. Like, are you going to send it back and be like, make him more jumpy?
Stay.
Yeah, that's right. Stay, babe.
Seriously, no, tell me like, what is like, is, okay. He's a changed dog.
He was gone a month. You know how when a parent sends his 12-year-old to summer camp and they come back 2 months later and the parent goes, wow, he has grown an inch and gained 10 pounds and his voice has changed, you know, like a big difference over the summer.
Yes.
I feel like that with Charlie. We picked him up after a month at doggy boot camp and he's noticeably bigger. He has a giant blockhead. He's the manliest dog on the block. You know what Charlie looks like right now? I thought to myself, if UFC had an official dog, it would be Charlie. I mean, Charlie is a badass looking dog right
now. He's a John Bones Jones looking dog.
I don't know what that means, but
I'm just saying John Bones Jones is like a guy with like a good UFC physique.
Yeah, this dog could be. I think UFC should have a canine division, to be honest with you.
Let's not go down that path.
Okay. I mean,
we literally had that in the NFL at Michael Vick.
I see. I like what you're doing there with improv and trying to take the joke to the next level.
Right.
But you kind of stumbled into a room there that we don't want to be in.
Okay.
Michael Vick's in that room. Like, let's leave this room. Let's go back up to the room we were just in.
So let me get this straight.
Okay. I was trying to think of your Twitter pivot from a couple weeks ago.
But still, yes.
Oh, but still, right. Okay. I'm not trying to.
Dogfighting is terrible. Still, we should start a UFC.
Here's what's funny about that. This is ironic. It genuinely is. And people use the word ironic wrong all the time.
Please be careful.
What's crazy is that we are so outraged by dogfighting, but human fighting is fine, right? Like, UFC fight. Hear me out. I watch a UFC fight. And it's a preview. And in slow motion, I'm watching some guy violently kick another guy. His bare foot goes right into the guy's chin. And you think his head is going to blow off his shoulders.
Yeah.
A guy that
decided he'd like to fight. Yeah.
Right.
Not a dog that was just born and bred to, like, hey, this is what you're going to be.
Hell of a left hook on Jumping Charlie.
Yeah, I don't justify dogfighting, but I'm just saying
you're just doing this thing. You got caught down a path, and now you're like, stop.
I know.
Just
I need to leave it alone. I do think UFC is barbaric. Okay, I'm not pulling back.
That's where you're pivoting to. Like, you know what? Now I'm just anti all fighting.
No, I mean, you know, I said last week, make love not war. I mean, I'm a lover, not a fighter.
I want to see a fighting league of people that don't fight.
That'd be great.
Like, you know, next week the headline is Dave Hyde and Greg Cody. I want to make you know the way that, like, was it Triller made like all these ridiculous celebrity boxing fights? I want to do that with let's push that out even further. Worse fights, people with less fighting experience.
I don't mind that
idea. And just put a big price tag on it, like that. Like, what if you had like a $250,000 purse for the winner of this fight, and you have to go all out. Like, imagine you and Dave Hyde training for 6 months to fight for a purse of $250,000.
No, I would do that. You know, I would.
Must be a Louis Vuitton.
Dave Hyde might smoke you.
Well, he's a tall man.
Yeah, he is.
He's got like 3 or 4 inches on me, but
hell yeah,
you know, I do this all the time. You know, I shadow box.
My dad's this guy. Dad, make the noise that you do when you punch.
Yeah. I mean, that's how fast, you know, people talk about bat speed in baseball. My punch speed.
Dad, I don't know. I mean, Zoom is not doing your punch speed justice. I'll tell you that much.
Hey, you know, it's always better in real life. Am I right? You know, but no, I could hold my own in the ring. In fact, I want you to organize a UFC division for over 60 sports writers. And I'm gonna do it. You know, it's Kornheiser and I might be in the first round.
Speaking of Kornheiser, do we have a bet? All right. I know we have a bet. We've agreed on the terms. What's the last, like, what's the cutoff for this bet? I think it should be you have to have done the interview by December 31st. Like, even if it doesn't, if we air it our first episode of the new year, that's fine.
Right.
The interview has to take place before December 31st.
I will agree to that because I've said consistently that by the end of the year, quote unquote, is when I want to get them. So
I don't like, by the way, you admitted to me at lunch today that you are like texting the Kornheiser producer that, hey, I have a bet on this.
Yeah.
Like, you're basically like begging for it, saying, hey, you could win me a bet.
Yes, correct. That's right.
Pull out your phone. I want to read this exchange. I feel like I'll be able to tell whether he's going to come on the show just based off of like you reading this text exchange with this producer.
While he's doing that, did Dan offer up enough of a price to make you consider eating it at Moss?
The only discussion of that was on air. So
gotcha.
There was no, like, you know, the prices I was hearing were way low. Especially when Dan's involved, there's going to be the floor here is going to be pretty high.
All right, hang on. I just found it here.
I love Dad. My dad trying to find a text in his phone.
I know. It's ridiculous.
He's like looking up to look down. It's amazing.
Right, this was from July. Okay, this is all right. I probably shouldn't be doing this. Okay, this is me to him on November 2nd. Hey,
okay.
Just circling back around on whether we can get Tony on my podcast. My son slash producer and I have a bet on whether Tony will agree to be on before the end of this year. I say yes, he says no. I don't want to turn into pest guys, so this will be my last ask. It would be a favor to me, but I also want to make clear this is not an either-or situation. I'm honored to be on whenever you guys call and will continue to be. If Tony can find the time, it could be as much as 20 minutes or less.
God, dude, tighten that up.
I know, right? Jesus. And then just let me know either way. And as I say, I won't be asking beyond this. Thanks. He gets back to me one day later. Hey, Greg! ! Which I took as a positive.
Oh no, he's not coming on.
It is good to hear from you. ! You are catching me on a rare trip away from DC, but I will bring this up with Tony as soon as I get back. I know next week is crazy for him as his daughter is getting married, but I really want to come through for you on this, and I have to have you win the bet. I'll touch base when I get back to town, and we'll go from there, and you are never a pest to me at all. ! So that's okay. And then I said, thanks, appreciate it, and then that's how it's left.
Right. I've got him running that up the chain. I think he's actually going to mention it to Tony. He'll even mention the bet. No shot he comes on still.
Okay. All right.
How long was your invitation to go on a date with Erlene? Like, how did you ask her out?
Yeah, seriously, Dad. Thank God there wasn't a dictating text back in those days. I mean, Jesus.
It was a long text.
You told him twice in that long, like, paragraph of a text that you, this would be the last time. You said that twice. You probably could have just gone with that line once.
Yeah, so I needed an editor, as I do in real life. No, it was a long text. But I hope to reel in. Tony's a big fish. I want to reel him into the boat, the GCS boat.
Maybe you can get his producer. I bet that guy will come on.
We're still optimistic, okay? We are still optimistic. I'm using the imperial we as if I'm not just speaking for myself. We're optimistic. We're going to get him. And the bet is, if I lose the bet, I'm going to eat a deep-fried Greg Cody Toe Show nail. And if you
the Greg Cody Toe with Greg Cody.
Exactly. And if you lose the bet, you're going to sleep outside like a Cub Scout.
All right.
And where can people see that toe, Greg, on display? Or that toenail?
Yeah, it's going to be at Moss, Miami. Actually, my toe is going to be at Moss, Miami as well, but the toenail.
Yeti, have we made any announcements about Moss, Miami yet, or are we saving stuff?
I'll be there.
Scoops Cody is going to have the whole story next week. Don't you worry about that. Okay.
Dad, Moss has already been broken. What are you talking about?
No, details have not been broken. People don't know what you just alluded to. They don't know details of the great toenail reveal. There's a lot going on there.
You're
going
to the big reveal is that.
I'm not ready to reveal that yet. It could be true. What you say?
What are you going to like?
I hope so. I've never heard. And hope I will at this point.
All right, let's move on.
Did you know that there's a city in Norway called A? That's it, just the letter A. No, the name of the city is A, Norway.
I wonder do they pronounce it with the same sound?
I think they pronounce it like aw, like more of an aw sound. Not
you
know
that? Are you just making that up?
No, I'm not making that up. I read it's the letter A in Norway, however it's pronounced, is like in the old Norse language, the letter A means small river.
And you said you had nothing to talk about today.
I here's something else. I have three facts that I didn't know. Okay, that's the third one.
Oh. Dad, you have to always say Jack if you say the word facts.
Okay, three facts, Jack, that I didn't know before this week that I'm sharing with you. One was that there's a city in Norway called A.
The idea of things I learned this week. We could steal it from the Shut the Funk Up podcast.
Okay.
They have at the start of every podcast, they kind of have a, like, what did we learn?
All right. We'll send a royalty to Alex Benson. Everybody knows everything about Seinfeld, right? But here's something that I personally didn't know. And if it's old news, please do tell me. In the pilot of Seinfeld, in the one first episode ever, Kramer was not called Kramer. He was called Kessler.
Yep.
What?
And beginning in the second episode, he became the Kramer that everyone knows.
Like, what's the story behind that? Why?
That's another unknown fact.
I'm Lester Holt.
Kessler was the actual name of the guy they based Kramer on, if I remember correctly.
That could be.
It's been a long time since I've read anything on it, but I think that was the case, because that guy tried to get some money out of them for portraying... Yes.
I think that is true.
And I think that guy's name is Kessler. I used to work for a guy named Kessler, and I hated him, so I loved that story.
That's a fun story.
And I think they I think they paid him $1,000 to get rid of him. And then the second episode, it became Kramer, who we all know and love. Here's my third fact.
Jack.
Everybody knows Charles Darwin, father of evolution. Chuck Darwin.
Chuck Darwin.
He's in my group chat.
He ate animals that he studied. Like he was a carnivore who ate hawks, owls, iguanas, giant tortoises. I mean, he was renowned in his day for like having a crazy appetite, which I found interesting. Maybe that's part of the whole evolution thing in his mind. You know,
Dad, did you see that in a stance of solidarity with Greg Cody, the CMAs honored Jerry Lee Lewis?
You know what?
And as they announced, as Peyton Manning and Luke Bryan announced the group, they were like, "This in a defense of Greg Cody, we honor Jerry Lee Lewis."
Aye. In defense of Greg Cody, I hate Luke Bryan. Sorry.
Jeez. Here's what I tried to tell you when we were talking about this controversy a couple of weeks ago. No.
Stop. Please stop.
No, it's my podcast. I will not stop. You can edit it out later. But
still, maybe you should.
No. All I'm going to say is this.
He was a piece of shit.
In reference to what you just said about the CMAs, I'm going to say there was a lot of positive outpouring of appreciation for his life when he died.
There's no doubt his place in music is iconic and undisputed. Also, piece of shit.
Okay.
But still, yeah, that's where your but still could have been in. His music was great. It inspired me, but still, flaming garbage of a person.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But still, you should have thrown it.
Okay.
Hell of a piano player.
Hearing that the CMA honored him is not surprising in the least because he may or may not have deserved it. Okay. I want to talk about the scandal involving FTX bankruptcy, and peripherally it involves the Miami Heat and a lot of other companies that got duped. A lot of other sports teams that got duped by FTX. The Miami Heat, F1, Formula One, MLB, Golden MLB, State Warriors.
MLB umpires, inexplicably. that's where we should have known that this was all going to blow up. Like, why are you like wanting to sponsor MLB umpires? Why did you feel like we should put our company on that? It's just like an odd one. Like, we should have known right there.
Yeah. I always think that when sometimes you read about there's a PR story and you read that some MLB umpire is visiting a kid in the hospital. And I'm like, that kid doesn't know who that umpire is.
Right.
Doesn't particularly want to meet that umpire.
And if it's Angel Hernandez, he's like, hey, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, right. Like, can I have a player from tonight's game instead of an umpire? But I
feel like you're bringing up this story right now only to make the joke that you want to name the arena the Greg Cody Show Arena.
You know what? I hadn't even thought of that, but it's a great idea. You know, but in the spirit of FTX, maybe we call it the GCS Arena, you know, because I come cheap.
Hell yeah.
I mean, FTX commanded $135 million over 19 years. Are you kidding me? You can get the Greg Cody Show as a name sponsor for, you know, two free season tickets and a bucket of chicken.
Dad, you think the Heat are paying them? That's not how this works. FTX is paying the heater.
That's a good point.
The arena is owed money by FTX. Like, what do you?
I know.
Yeah, you hear that, Heat?
That's a good point.
All right, so here's their options. Here's their options.
Oh, this episode it could is be so
called,
good.
It could be called the FTX Arena, and the Heat and that building can get $140 million over 19 years.
Yeah.
Or it can be called the Greg Cody Show Arena, and they can give my dad two free tickets.
And a bucket of chicken for life. A bucket of chicken weekly for life.
What are you?
Oh my gosh.
That was great.
FTX, this is a scandal. You guys are probably barely old enough to remember the Enron scandal, where this energy company goes from all that to bankrupt overnight. And this reminds me of that because all of these people that were duped by FTX. Now, in the case of Enron, you know, you had all these regulators duped by all these fake holdings and everything. I wonder what's behind the scenes at FTX, because the Miami Heat, they have an impeccable record of business decisions.
Yeah.
Like, generally, they don't get in bed with a company on naming rights unless it's legit. And for them, a year later, to have this company file for bankruptcy and then have to threaten all these legal actions, that's a pretty big scandal.
Yeah, but it's not a scandal. I mean, everybody was in on, like, cryptocurrency and all that stuff. Like, it's not like
the
it's not like the Heat were out on this limb. Like, all the Super Bowl commercials last year were all crypto stuff. Look,
and I'm in on crypto.
Okay, I'm diamond handsing it. I'm not selling.
I'm not in this
to make a few hundred dollars. I'm in this that hopefully 40 years from now, this thing is like way bigger, and the money that I invested now is turning in, like, you know what I mean? This is a long play. So I'm just gonna, you know, like I said, I'm gonna ride it down like that old couple in the Titanic. I'm gonna be laying on that bed, just hoping that we make it home safely. Like, that's it. Like, look, that's just where I'm at.
For your sake, I hope you're right, because I'm spending all your inheritance. So I hope you do really well with cryptocurrency. I will say this.
What do you mean you're spending all my inheritance?
I mean, Jumping Charlie just had to go to boot camp.
On the outro, they charged me $200 for this zapper, which it's humane.
So wait, the thing that Mina said you should just the thing that would have worked by itself. So the real scam of this place was at the very end. They're like,
hey, this $200 zapper, this will do everything you needed.
But yeah, still, let us have the dog for a month and give us $6,000.
I know. And when I got him, he didn't even speak French or anything like I hoped he would. But, you know, this, I just think it's a scandal. And I'm not blaming the Miami Heat, but you'd think there would be have been more of a vetting process. Like, who are we really? What is FTX exactly? I mean, 2 months ago, we never heard of them.
They did that.
Where are they now?
The the FTX business was booming when they made this deal. Like,
well, everybody jumped in.
This is not like, I think don't take a victory lap on the crypto like stuff yet. Like, let's see how this plays out. It's already had a nice little bounce back the last couple days.
Right.
Like, the storms, they're rocky, like the waters are rocky right now, but we'll be okay.
Yeah, okay. It says a cryptocurrency investor. I hope you're right, but I'm old school. My attitude is, dial it back, do some direct deposit, put some money in the bank. Yeah, literally put some money in the bank, take your 2% or whatever banks are paying nowadays, and enjoy it. That's all you got to do. I got a lot of topics left.
What?
Okay, Gallagher just died. We could talk about greatest prop comics ever.
Okay, we could probably save that one for another day. Okay. Lester Holt over here about to tell us that Gallagher died. All right.
Can I say something? I don't like the Lester Holt reference.
Then have thoughts on a topic when you bring it up.
How about my thought is one of the most famous prop comics in the world died a minute and a half ago. And I'm suggesting maybe we talk about who are the greatest prop comics. Why is that being Lester Holt? I'm not reporting that Gallagher died.
Who are the good prop comics?
Well, he mentioned Carrot Top. Steve Martin.
Also.
A lot of people don't remember that Steve Martin began as a prop comic. The first time I ever saw Steve Martin, nobody even knew he was an actor, a future actor yet. He played the banjo, and he came on stage with a f-ing arrow through his head. That's how much of a prop comic he was. I mean, he was an A-level prop comic when he first started. But I'm just being Lester Holt, so I don't want to talk about that because apparently you're not pleased by it, goddammit. So we move on, asshole. Edit all that out.
You actually had something there.
Okay, you didn't give me the chance to have it. But every usually time I say something that sounds like I'm playing off the news, you're like Lester Holt.
Lolt.
Exactly. Lolt.
See the passion that I got? See what happens? I'm coaching you up. Look at that.
Coaching me up.
Look what I got out of you right there.
Okay. It's just annoying to me that I mentioned that Gallagher dying might be, smashing a pumpkin. And Gallagher, by the way, was
nobody knows who Gallagher is, though. Like, that is
okay,
such like
I can't help that. The comics that Gallagher influenced included one of my personal heroes, David Letterman. Okay, early in David Letterman's career, he was dropping watermelons and television sets off a 15th story building just to delight in watching them crash on the pavement. And that was all that was Gallagher. So,
Greg Cody.
I don't know how to do any of that. It's
all. I do want to say about Gallagher, I do wonder if he gets cremated, if he wants like his protege, or if he might have a brother out there or something, to work it into their routine that they smash his urn and his ashes in the middle of a show with a giant hammer.
I like it.
Dad, I feel like I pissed you off to come out of the commercial here. So now I'm going to make you happy by playing somebody respecting Greg Cody. Jonathan Zaslow, who has started his own podcast. He has the Zaslow Show 2.0. He was talking to Amber Wilson this past week about the Dolphins, and your name came up.
I remember before the season started, and I'm watching the Levitard show, Metalark Media, and Greg Cody gives like one of his predictions for the season and says how Waddle and Tyreek Hill are each going to have over 100 catches. And they all laughed at him, where it's like, how is that even possible? And right. It's definitely going to happen.
Well, I mean, look at that.
Okay. Jonathan Zaslow, you spent 8 years criticizing me behind my back to Levitard. Wow. Now you say something nice on me, so thanks so much.
Nice soundbite from Zaslow.
Yeah, that soundbite, awesome.
No, I'm in all seriousness, thank you, Zaslow. We wish you all the luck in the world your new podcast, The Zaslow Show. Zaslow
2.0.
Okay, whatever.
Featuring Zaslow.
Okay. Is Amber on it?
No, she was just a guest. Yeti.
Who's on it with him?
It's just him.
Oh, that's a tough lift for one guy.
Yeah.
Okay, good luck with that, Zaz.
You were saying, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, what is this? Like, do you want to rip Zaz? Like, what's happening here? I'm trying to move on. Like,
no, I mean, you know.
I got something for Joe Zagacki here.
We love Zagacki.
But not Zaslow, apparently.
Well, I mean, come on. He spent his entire career criticizing me behind my back.
He basically was calling you the Lester Holt of sports.
There you go. Yeah, at least you have the decency to do it to my face. But I want to get Lester Holt on the podcast.
That's never going to happen. Can we make a bet on that
for next year?
That's right. I want Lester Holt on the podcast. What channel is he on?
NBC, I believe.
Not off to a good start, Greg.
What is it? NBC?
I believe.
I can picture what he looks like. Okay. Like, what does he do? Is he a news anchor?
He's like their main news broadcaster.
Okay.
Didn't he take over after
Williams?
Yeah, Brian Williams.
Oh, Brian Williams.
Had to depart. Okay.
Yeah. The most famous Canadian broadcaster in American TV history.
Yeti, I learned about my dad today that he has never been on Instagram on his phone. My dad uses Instagram only on a computer.
No wonder he doesn't share any of the social media stuff that I work really hard on.
I know.
Never mind. He doesn't even do it on Twitter.
I don't know how to do that.
Except for recently, Greg, after the last 2 weeks, you've done very well, even after fighting us on a retweet earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't know how to get Instagram on my iPhone.
Like I did a post from the Greg Cody Show Instagram, and I like, Dad, I shared it with you to collaborate. Like, so you can be, and he's just like, how do I look at what? I'm like, your notifications, like top right thing on your phone.
Yeah, I don't know how to
he's
do
like,
that.
I've never used, I don't use it on my phone.
Greg Cody. I don't know how to
collaborate and listen. No, I don't know how to do that. I don't know what you mean by that. Like, how to collaborate? What am I doing to an Instagram
Dad,
post?
You know how when you look at a post on Instagram, somebody's name's at the top of it. Like, right. That's who posted that. Now you can, like, if two people are in a post, let's say it's a video with me and Yeti, I can post it and I can invite Yeti to be a collaborator on it. I'm basically saying this is both of our posts, and then it goes on both of our feeds. So if you have a bigger audience than the Greg Cody Show, if you agree to be a collaborator, now the Greg Cody Show post gets seen by all your followers. It's a way to
I would collaborate to that degree. Somebody just needs to tell me so how. I am. I mean, I call up Instagram on my big PC screen, giant screen.
You're so old. Dad, I'm off to Toronto. We're about to God, that's
go to Ben's Beats.
The rest of this episode is going to be on Sunday evening, and I will be recording it live from Toronto. It's going to be cold. I'm going with Roy. We're doing a bunch of hockey content.
Roy.
And I'm excited about it. I've never been to Toronto, so don't get a long time there. But gonna Toronto it up. So should we awkwardly transition over to me in Toronto right now?
I think we should. And you're gonna be chilly when we talk to you. It's gonna be about 20 degrees. Dress warm, and his teeth will be chattering the next time you hear his voice.
That was weird.
Say anything. Hey, that kind of thing.
All right, so we are now, I'm coming to you. I sound different now. I'm coming to you from Toronto. Before we get to why I'm here and the rest of the episode, we screwed up this Kramer thing earlier in this episode. Was it Yeti that made a mistake? My dad, Yeti, what happened here?
It was me. Your dad brought up the fact that Kramer was originally Kessler in episode number one and then was Kramer from there on out. But then my Mr. Smarty Pants, you know, went out and thought, oh yeah, wasn't Kramer actually originally based on a guy named Kessler? And then they changed it. And that was not the case. The guy they based him on was named Kramer, last name Kramer.
Hello.
Yep. And later on in the series, they did a kind of a retcon, and they explained that they just had his name wrong on his mailbox downstairs or something like that. Either way, I don't remember. Before I get something else wrong, I have to apologize again to all you Seinfeld hardcores. Before you just completely obliterate me in my mentions, I was wrong.
Okay.
Wait, so my dad wasn't wrong. That's the real upset.
How about that?
There we go.
That is an upset. Thank you, Yeti, for intentionally being wrong to make me appear right.
Miami has the Dolphins.
Football team.
How about that, huh?
I didn't get to watch the game today because I'm in Toronto running around like a madman. But I saw a picture after the game of LeBron, Wade, and Bosh at the Big Three celebration standing on stage. And then today, I guess there was a shot on the sideline of Tua, Waddle, and Hill as the new Big Three in Miami. It was goosies all over.
That's fun.
Guys, I think you guys have a quarterback.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was funny. At one point late in the third quarter, Tua threw a short touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill, and the crowd broke into an MVP chant. And the Dolphins are good enough where you weren't sure who they were chanting for.
Yeah.
You know, because Tua and Tyreek are both having such wonderful, exceptional seasons that, you know, for so many years, the Dolphins barely had a team MVP worthy. And now they have two guys, at least two, who are just having phenomenal seasons. There's a magical feeling about the Dolphins right now. Now, granted, that's a week-by-week thing in the NFL. If they turn around and lose to Houston, you know, we're all going to be throwing our arms up. But right now, at 7-3 in first place, first time 7-3 or better since 2001, it's a pretty neat thing going on down here.
I just am so... I don't know what this feels like, the Dolphins being a legit contender. So I literally, right. It's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. I'm like that guy right now. I'm like, what do I do? I don't know how to act. Should I be like, I just think it's all going to go wrong because that's the way it just generally goes with the Dolphins. So it's like, I'm trying not to get too excited because I feel like we'll just end up in pain. But God, I'm just like, I've already texting friends like, hey, if the Dolphins end up on the road in the first round, we're going. Like, I am, like, it's, I'm feeling things, tingly feelings that I've never felt with the Dolphins before.
Yeah. Okay. At least you're not superstitious already talking about road playoff games.
Well, like, technically, aren't they leading the division right now?
Yes, they are.
So technically, it's a home playoff game.
Right. With the Jets being on a bye and Buffalo losing that crazy game to the Vikings, the Dolphins are alone right now in first place at 7-3. Pretty remarkable. Okay, you look like you're in a what I would call a Motel 5 because it doesn't seem quite good enough to be a low-end motel. Where are you right now and why?
This is not low-end at all. This is like a nice downtown Toronto hotel room.
Okay, I'm looking in the background and I'm seeing, you know, a bunch of German shepherds playing poker. But
I mean, I don't know. It's a room, man. Okay. It's wild how dark it is. It's 5:45 here and it feels like it's 8 p.m. Maybe it's because I got up at like 4:30 this morning and it's been the longest day of my life, but it's wild how like I'm tired, even though it's only like 6 p.m. It's just weird things going on.
You're also further north, so the sun sets earlier in the winter. Look at you. It stays out a lot later in the summertime, though.
Now, what are you doing exactly? It's Luongo related, right? Hall of Fame related or no?
Hall of Fame related. It's a passion project for Roy. I'm just kind of here to do jazz hands.
Right.
Like, you know, it was funny today because Roy has been genuinely moved by this entire experience. The Legends game, just being in the Maple Leafs arena, you know, really? walking through the NHL Hall of Fame. And I'm being honest, I'm a late bloomer to this hockey thing, jumped on the Panther bandwagon a couple years ago. So this is moving my needle at all, but it's fun to watch Roy happy. So I'm kind of just through that prism where I'm like just watching Roy the whole time.
Now, let me ask you this, because Roy's persona on the show is pretty stoic.
Yeah.
Right. Have you seen him actually emotional, like heartfelt, like, wow, I can't believe I'm here.
Definitely just smiling a lot, like just excited about our next thing. Oh yeah, we got to do that. Like just enthusiasm. It's just, it's honestly
cool.
Doing it kind of like shtick, but it's genuinely cool to see Roy happy.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm happy for it as well. I can't wait to hear all the content you guys are producing.
We just talked to the keeper of the cup, the guy that like spends every like waking minute with the cup, and like when the cup goes, because like when a team wins a championship, every player gets one day with the cup.
I've heard that.
But the cup can't, the people can't be trusted. So there's a guy named Phil Pritchard whose job is to just travel around with the cup. And he's seen some things, crazy stories. And we interviewed him today. It was cool.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah,
that sounds good. So if player X has the cup on a Wednesday, Phil's in the den, like staring at him, making sure he's not urinating in the cup, or how does that work?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to ruin our interview by giving away. Right. We ask him that type of stuff, but, you know, he gives the players a little freedom with it, but he's always got an eye on it. He's always making sure that it's respectful. They can do anything with it as long as the thing is respecting the cup. So I don't, like, right. No one's ever pooped in it. Spoiler alert. I asked him that.
Yeah.
And, he said, he looked at me kind of like I had three heads. Like, that's sure the opposite of, like, literally, that's the least respectful thing you could do to it. Like, I literally, that was my follow-up when he said, as long as you respect the cup, you can do anything. And then I'm like, has anyone ever shit in it? And he just gave me a look like, what am I doing in this interview?
Right. And he was probably justified to shoot that look at you, quite frankly.
And then I tried to, like, I was like, how much do I have to slip you a little blank check under the table to get me just a day with the cup? Like, let me have a day.
Yeah. Has that ever happened?
He didn't like me too much, Phil Pritchard.
Wow.
But check out that content in a couple days.
Yeah, no, I look forward to that. That's going to be fun. People have dropped the cup, right? Like, brought it back dented?
Yeah, the Avalanche, famously, this past year, there was, like, a big dropping of the cup. And he, you know, that he went into detail on how they fixed it. So yeah, we cover all that stuff.
Okay. Christopher, you mentioned the Dolphins and being almost afraid to feel too good about what's going on because it might come crashing down. That is absolutely the fatalist opinion of anybody who's been a long-suffering Dolphin for the past 20-plus years. Your mother watches third downs like between her webbed hands. Like, she's afraid to watch when the Dolphins have a third down play.
My mom's move, and I haven't honestly, I need to start watching more games over at your house because I feel like I haven't watched a Dolphins game with mom in years.
Right.
But back in the day, I just remember mom making noise like,
Oh, yeah.
Like, and on defense, anytime the opposing team throws a ball that travels more than 10 yards, my mom makes some sort of guttural noise like, right.
She's funny. Even, you know, this year they're good. I mean, you can say the Dolphins are good, but if they're playing like today, I was at the stadium. Obviously, I wasn't with her. But I guarantee you that when Cleveland scored first to make it 7-0, your mother either thought or said aloud to the dog something to the effect, here we go again. Because that's the way it is to be a Dolphin fan.
Yeah.
Believe me, I've lived with it. It's it's special. But here's the thing.
Actually, is that special? I feel like it's a lot of fan bases. Outside of perennial winners, that's just how fans feel in general.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. But here's the thing about, and I'm going to say something that's Debbie Downer. They should beat Houston to go to 8-3. Then the tough schedule gets really tough.
Yeah.
And six of their last eight games are on the road. So you could have a situation where the Dolphins are playing the Jets in the last game of the season for a playoff berth. Like this is the AFC is so tough. You can go 10-7 and miss the playoffs. I just hope that's not the Dolphins' fate after what they're doing.
I'm not buying the Jets yet.
I'm not either. No, I'm not either. I think Miami's a better team.
The Jets have a good defense. I'll give them that. And they have some good skill guys, but I'm just not buying Zach Wilson yet.
I agree with you. And Breece Hall, their number one phenomenal running back, is out for the season, which is a really big thing for them. So,
Dad, I enjoyed you getting upset with the Lester Holt stuff previously in this episode.
Yeah, you know what? I was genuinely mad like that. I wasn't faking that.
I know. Dad, anytime you punctuate something with asshole, that's when you know you're actually upset.
I know. I haven't heard it back, but
Jack,
you always like it. I haven't heard it back, Jack, but I felt myself being genuinely upset at you.
Yeah, so. I haven't heard you go asshole like that on somebody since Mike Ryan, like a year and a half ago. Or maybe
he's done it for Dan. I think he's done it. I think I might have been the third one. He's done it to Dan before. He gave it to Mike Ryan once, and I think I was the third person to get an asshole from Greg Cody.
He delivers it the same way every time too. It's almost like he's got a sounder and he just hits it when he's ready.
Asshole.
Really? I didn't realize that.
It's like punctuating a paragraph. It's like I'm building up, I'm enthusiastic, I'm passionate, asshole.
Asshole. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? As I think back to the times I say it in genuine anger, yeah. I think I say that when I feel like I'm genuinely being disrespected. Like I don't like it you know, I don't want to get into the whole Lester Holt thing again, but because I know you mean it as a joke, but if I feel
I don't actually. When I think sometimes you just say headlines. That time you didn't though. You did come. You brought some stuff. Like I called you out prematurely, and you brought some stuff. But that doesn't mean that sometimes you just do headlines.
Hey, right, what'd you just get out of your briefcase?
I got out the dad joke of the week, which I haven't done yet.
You
and
print those out?
You no, have I don't. Those like? Why did you have that in a briefcase? Did you bring it to the Dolphins game today?
He just sits at the Dolphins game and writes them out.
I write them out because my printer's broken. You know, and it made me realize how much I rely on my printer. Oh, my gosh. It really does.
Greg, why was your article late? I was writing another dad joke of the week for the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
No, but while I you know, I get to the stadium really early, like 3 hours before the game. So I did write my story for the Herald on this podcast episode. So I was reminding myself what we talked about.
All right, what you got for us?
Okay, hang on.
This has to be terrible.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
Okay, what do you think? What do you think of a country that gives free bread to its citizens?
Free what?
Free bread. What do you think of it, or what do you call a country that gives free bread to its citizens?
I don't know.
A generous dough nation.
God, these are getting worse.
That's bad, Greg. That one's not good one at all.
Okay.
It's a generous donation. Dough.
No, we got it.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. What can I tell you? Hey, that kind of thing.
That kind of thing.
I'm talking about that kind of thing. Are we done?
I think we are. Should we wrap?
Let's take the rest of the night off. Let's all go party with Mike McDaniel.
At least you're not making the end of this episode awkward.
What do you mean?
I don't know. You're just being slow. Like, end the episode. Like,
I thought I did already.
You're like, should we end it?
All right. Thanks. You don't like me doing that. You don't like me starting an episode by saying, hi, everybody. Welcome back. And now you want me to go, thanks, everybody. Enjoyed having you along for the ride.
I just want some direction.
One direction. All right. See you all. See you next week.
Dad, I'm in another country and you're my father. Give me a hug through Zoom right now.
I am going to give you a hug. Here we go.
Here we go.
All right. Love you, son. Love you, son.
This is what Dad used to do. Like, he used to be like, whenever he'd give me a hug or like tuck me in, he'd be like, that's the one.
Oh, yeah. That's the one.
That's good.
That's the one.
Good night, Greg.
Yeah.
That was creepy.
It was creepy. But I forgot. That's the one. Yeah, I used to do that. Yeah.